welcome to an interview today from Faith and Fitness Magazine with Jehiva Floyd. Jehiva is a professional basketball player, but if you're thinking of the NBA, any of the teams on it, you'd be wrong, because Jehiva plays in the country of Israel. Jehiva, I'm really pleased to have you join us today. What's life like living over in Israel?
Right now with COVID, we're just in the apartment now, but I can't wait till everyone gets their vaccine so I can be able to explore a little bit more.
How's the season going?
It's going pretty good. We're 11-6 right now, have about 6 games left in the regular season, and we're doing pretty good. We're fourth in our conference right now, so things are going well.
Go ahead and tell our viewers where you're from originally.
Yeah, I'm originally from Jersey City, New Jersey. I was born there. I moved to Sarajevo, New Jersey for my high school years, where I graduated from there and went to Holy Cross for college in Worcester, Massachusetts.
So, Jehiva, you've got a new book that's coming out just about now, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just released my first book, Godfidence, and I'm excited. It's been a long process in writing the book, and it's been life-changing so far with the feedback I've gotten, and just continue to market the book and make sure they get in the hands of the right people.
What was the process like for you?
Right. It actually started out just me journaling, just expressing my thoughts and getting my emotion down on paper. And then around the time of me, what I was experiencing, I felt like there's a lot of people who experienced it. I was cut by my first professional team. So just dealing with that type of failure can really be defeating. So just being able to be resilient and get my words on paper, I feel like it can impact a lot of other people. So it took me like a year to write the book, and I got in touch with a publisher, and within 4 months with us connecting, we were able to release the book in March.
Well, congratulations. I'm looking forward to being able to read the entire thing. But for now, what I'd like for you to do is just give our viewers a little look at how it all developed. I know it starts out with your early history as a mm-hmm. child. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I grew up in the church. I'm a pastor's kid. So my first 15 years, I was really much school and church. I didn't really start playing basketball until after 15. So a lot of my who I am at the core, I'm a little church boy. I grew up playing the drums and singing in the choir. But also my parents got divorced. So I think that was a bit of life-changing for me, where it took me a while to cope with that. It was a tough situation where I had anxiety and depression, and reflecting back to those days makes a lot of sense of what I go through now in terms of self-doubt and having my own cases of anxiety and depression now.
As time went on, and you left your age 15 or so and then moved on into college, was that the big transition time that your faith became strong, or now that you're in college, was that even an additional challenge?
Yeah, I think having a transition was a challenge for my faith. I think what caused my faith to get stronger was after college, that transition from college to the real world, you get lost, and you, and that's when your future hopes are arm's reach, and you go through these different obstacles to get there. And you don't really hear the voice of God like as clear as you want it to be. So that really made me like go close to him and acknowledge that I needed to reconcile my relationship with him and really develop an authentic faith and relationship with him. And I know when you're younger, your faith is usually from your parents. So I think during that time, I was able to get a real relationship like with me and him, and continue the journey on.
Describe that a little bit. Before you do that, let me ask you, there were multiple things in your life growing up that sort of really were challenges for you. You mentioned already your mm-hmm. parents' divorce, being the child of a pastor. Go ahead and give us a little more insight into just all of the different challenges that were piling up and making you feel the way that you did and have questions and concerns.
Yeah, I would say just growing up a pastor's kid is pretty challenging, because there's so many expectations for the child that was placed on him without him even wanting that role. because his dad's a pastor. You have to just pretty much be perfect in every area of life. So I did grow up the straight A student. I did be involved in school and church and stuff like that. But after a while, it got exhausting. I got tired of pretending that I was okay with everything going on behind the scenes with my parents' divorce. And it just took me to really dig deep and want to know who I wanted to be. I think these expectations make you feel like you have to be a certain way. And then just piling onto basketball, that's a different type of expectation. And we're put on these pedestals to be someone, but we don't have it. Until we hone in on our choices of who we want to be, I think that's when we know who we really are at the core.
Let me ask you a follow up on something you just said there. You said that part of the challenge was pretending to be somebody. And I'm curious, are you able now to see people that are doing that pretending? And when you do, are you able to speak to them and help them with that? Mm-hmm. Or is that something you just sort of have to feel it out? Share a little bit about that whole pretending component, because I think a lot of people deal with that.
Right. And I think that's what was inspiring for me to write the book, because a lot of people go through it. It's very universal. So when I do see it, I empathize with them because I know how it feels to feel like you have to be a certain way. Society in general just tells us as men or as athletes, we have to be this tough guy. We have to be, you know, and it's pretty much the opposite of who God wants us to be. He wants us to be compassionate and forgiving and stuff like that. So I do see it and I try to empathize. And if they don't want my help, I won't force it onto them. But I love to talk to people who are going through that.
So you do speak up then?
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially for the people that's close by me, like my fiance or my brothers and sisters. I mean, with COVID going around and making us sit down and really reevaluate life, we understand like how we present ourselves to the world and who we are behind closed doors. Now we're just in quarantine. It's like, all right, who are we? Who are we at the core? And we've been here for so long. If you're not really taking that time to get to know yourself, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
And you also mentioned earlier, after talking about how overcoming the pretending of who you felt you needed to be, becoming the person that you wanted to be. I assume that means becoming that person that God was showing you. Tell me a little bit, share with us a little bit about how that all, what that process was like.
I think it starts with shedding the knowledge you've been given as a child. So, like, obviously our parents did their best job they can to, you know, guide us to the right direction, but only God knows what direction he wants us to go. So it's basically having that relationship with God and reading your Bible and just having that time and space to really see the direction and vision he has for you. So it's a lot of shedding. I call it healing from childhood trauma. That was my first step to really understand the direction I needed to go to become ultimately who God wanted me to be. And just understanding, okay, I define myself as a pastor's kid, athlete, a black man in America, but who am I as a God, like as a child of God? And that's really what withholds everything and balances all three of those things for me.
So it sounds like you really took ownership of that identity of being a child of God.
For sure. And I think that helps me pursue and seek my purpose, which I understand my purpose is just, I feel like all of our purposes is to use our testimony, use our life challenges to share with others who may be going through the same thing. And if it only helps one person, then you're doing your job. And I seen a quote the other day, it said, be the reason someone else knows God is good. And that's just what I pride myself on. And I don't know if you know, but my name, the meaning of my name is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. So that's a constant reminder of who I am as a person, just walking in that greatness.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Thanks for sharing that. Tell us a little bit about you as a physical person. You're obviously a professional basketball mm-hmm. player. I assume, I know that's a lot of exercise in and of itself, but what other types of exercise strength training do you do to just be overall healthy and fit, and your diet as well?
Right. The diet part I'm still working on because that takes a lot of discipline, but I rely on my youth a lot. I'm 23 years old, but I was blessed with a great physical body, great athletic ability, and a way to respect that and appreciate what God has given me. I try to use it to the best of my ability in terms of getting ready for the season. I am a workaholic in the gym. I love to lift weights. And it's a constant reminder of what faith can do, because everybody can't be a professional athlete, because every day you're pushing your body to the limit every day. And you have to have faith that you can handle that. So it really works on my faith. I think about God every day, because when I get tired, sometimes I want to lose faith and doubt myself, but usually I can come out on top when I just continue to believe in myself.
I'm curious, not everybody on your team would self-identify as being a Christian, I'm assuming, correct?
No, I was going to say I'm in Israel, so they're big on Judaism. They speak Hebrew. They have a different type of religion. And it gives us context. It gives me context of the Bible. I don't think there's any Muslims, but I respect their faith and what they believe in, and the rituals they have, and I know mine. So I think just being able to understand the underlying cause of just knowing that there's a higher power and just believing in that allows us to, you know, interact with one another.
I'm assuming that you have opportunities to engage with them to either talk about your faith, or maybe more significant at the same time, to also help them through some of maybe their feelings of pride or anything like that. You know, when you're working out, when you're shooting the hoops and getting those goals, all of that stuff, there's a lot of attitude in all of that. There's a lot of feeling. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm curious how you've had opportunity and taken the opportunity. Can you share a little bit to just embed some faith perspective with your teammates as it was appropriate?
Yeah, I think that just comes naturally to me, just wanting to uplift other people. And I think that's what it comes down to, having faith and being a Christian, and having that relationship with God. It starts with being willing to uplift the next person. So if one of my teammates are down, it's not even about me projecting God onto him. It's just like having instilling some type of faith within himself so he can get the job done. There are a couple spiritual guys on our team where we have those conversations, and we can dive deeper than just sports. I wrote a book, so some of the guys read my book, so they know that side of me. Whenever they have a question, I'm here to ask. I feel like I don't like to project it onto people. When it comes up, I'm willing to talk about it. But, you know, some people shy away from that type of stuff, and I don't want to make too many people feel uncomfortable and things like that. I think a lot of the conversation we have as basketball players is, like, outside of sports, we have it within relationships. So I love talking about relationships, whether it's romantic or friendship. So I am an advocate for having healthy relationships. So if a guy comes to me and tells him I'm having trouble, you know, saying faithful or whatnot, like, I can give them the reason why I do it or what keeps me disciplined. And it's just knowing that there is, at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want that belonging. We want that love. That's something I always talk about. But it really takes the work to really hone in to your habits and stuff like that to make things work. So that's pretty much the advice I would usually give to my teammates or,
And speaking of relationships, you are engaged.
Yeah, so I'll talk about our journey in my book. But yeah, I'm getting married in June. I'm happy. We met in college, so we've been together for a couple years now. We've invested, and I think the shift in our relationship have been just being able to put God in the middle. I think before using that perspective, I didn't know much about relationships because, like I said, I've grown up from a divorced family. So I think breaking generational curses have been like my inspiration to continue to grow with her and being able to have a family for ourselves.
And as you're getting closer to doing that, congratulations, by the way. That's going to be a whole exciting new journey in your life.
Thank you.
And someday children, I Thank assume. You. Have you had these private conversations with God, you know, the God help me, or God, I really need your direction, like that? How's that all playing out?
Yeah, so I firmly believe I can't love without the help of God. So that's what keeps my relationship with God strong, because there's a lot of things where I'm not able to express or give what my fiance needs at times. So I do lean on God for that strength. So I do have those talks, and I think he directed me towards understanding the importance of marriage and the importance of having to share a life with someone, because it gives so much meaning and so much purpose. So I'm just excited for that next journey to, you know, share life with the love of my life. So
for sure. Yeah. We'll have to reconnect at some point in a couple of years from now and see how it's all going. And I'm sure not to see how it's all going, to see what new lessons you've learned and where God's taken you. It'll be exciting.
Yeah. I think when I reflect on my life, all I can be is like very thankful, because there's not a lot of people in my position who would be able to make it out. And I understand I didn't do it by myself. What shifted my perspective of everything was understanding God's grace, to be able to feel love even when sometimes I fall short. That's the ultimate goal, is to have someone working behind the scenes on your behalf. And that's really what Godfin stands for, is having that that trust that you're going to be okay. It is like, it's all written. So I think that's my privilege, is to wake up every morning to understand that at the end of the day, I'm going to be okay, because I do believe that there is a God and he will take care of me. So I think that's where I believe where I'm privileged. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring out a really good point, is, you know, none of us can be as good as we want to be, as good as we're expected to be. And there's a tremendous amount of comfort in knowing that God makes up the difference for us.
Yeah, and that's tough. It's easier said than done to just trust that God's going to make a way, because there are moments when we lack faith and doubt. But those are the moments where growth happens, where we have to fight for our faith. It doesn't just happen. You can't just say I believe God. You have to show with your actions. You have to feel it in your heart and your intentions. And that's what I realized, which helped me in my my journey, is like, there's a difference between knowing God and having a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with God, you talk to him every day. You know who he is. And the more you know who he is, you know who you are. So that's been good for me.
You know, I like what you say, that we have to fight for this. And I think a lot of times people, they get in the mentality that, oh, look at the challenges that I'm facing, the hardships, the things that aren't going my way. Talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, I think it's a lot like being on the basketball court. This is a fast-moving life, and you've got to fight for everything, right, and realize that God's directing you, but you've got to continue to focus in on him and pursue. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that?
I think I like saying, it says, if you focus on the pain, when you focus on the pain, you'll suffer. If you focus on a lesson, you'll grow. So I think for me, it's understanding the power behind the pain. It's not succumbing to the negative emotions. It's like, okay, God is trying to teach me right now, and what can I learn from this this moment to use it for the future and to become who he ultimately want me to become.
Yeah, you know, we've got that Bible verse, all good and perfect gifts come from God. And I think a lot of times the challenges are those good and perfect gifts in disguise. Tell me, what's your future? Has God been speaking to you, saying, hey, someday, here's what I'm training you up to be?
Yeah, just being so young and being able to so in tune with the spirit, it comes off odd for some, but I've been at this for so long and behind the scenes. So for the future, I feel like it's just me continuing to push the narrative and continue to be the reason why people would know who God is. So if it's me writing another book, which I'm in the process of, or just continuing to speak to other people, it's just being an encourager. I don't know where that may take me, but I give a lot of room for God to continue to work, because you know what they say, if you make plans, God laughs.
I think a lot of times people age 23, early 20s, even in their early 30s are thinking, I'm too young to, you know, that's a preacher's job, some old guy's duty to do the ministry. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people like that?
I say, we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth, so why wait until you're older to pursue or use your gift that God has given you? I think I'm just taking advantage of the time he's giving me wisely, and I'm continuing to do the work that he puts in me, like gives me the vision for. Like I'm not just doing this because I want to do it. It's something that God given me a long time ago where I'm just pursuing it because it feels right.
Well, Jehovah, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you today. I've been speaking with Jehovah Floyd from New Jersey, but he's in Israel right now playing for, go ahead and give us the name of that team.
Gibeah Galil in Israel.
All right. Had you ever heard of it before they said, we want you?
I did not. But they were happy to have me. My name is pretty special around here because it's just a religious, the Holy Land. So it's pretty religious, and people love the meaning behind my name, and it's been great so far. Great experience.
Hey, let me ask you one more question. I'm curious because I've been blessed to be able to travel some, and you're in a whole different part of the world. And what I've shared with people is, until you've been to another part of the country or other part of the world, you don't really realize the influence that our nation has, the privilege that we have as a nation to be an influence on other people. And I'd like for you just to sort of take a minute to tell me a little bit about what that's all been like for you, what you've discovered, what God's maybe spoken to you.
Yeah, it's good to step back and see our familiar environment as in a different light. I think I was able to hone into what God wants me to do outside of just what America's doing on an everyday. So being able to see it in a different light has grown my knowledge and been able to, you know, separate myself from, you know, the everyday life over there. So I think traveling definitely helps, and it gives you a different perspective. It opens up your world, and it expands and exposes you to different cultures, and you really get to choose what you feel more comfortable with.
Ever afraid of sharing your faith? Has there been times you're like, I don't know, God, and God said, you need to do this?
I think writing a book has given me the confidence to do that, because that's what people see, like, are able to see me for myself now. So people are going to, like, know me as, it's, I think before it was like, oh, you're just an athlete, why are you talking about faith? But now they see me as more of an athlete. Now it's easier for me to, like, share what's on my heart. So before, yes, it was very, you're pulling and tugging whether you should do that. But now I think this has freed me from that. Writing the book has freed me from that that problem. Living in truth feels really good. I know, like we talked about earlier, just pretending is really exhausting. And I would say, whatever you're going through, don't suffer in silence. The saying is, what we don't reveal, God won't heal. So just be more in tune with what God wants for you, and really let him do his job. I know we try to do life by ourselves, but it really doesn't make sense when there's a God in control who wants to love and care and protect you.
Now that's really good, Jehovah. I've been speaking with Jehovah Floyd, and Jehovah, you've got your book there, right? Godfidence?
Oh yeah, they can purchase it on Amazon. Just type in Jehovah Floyd and Godfidence, it'll show right up. But yeah, that's the easiest way to purchase it.
So folks, if you want to connect with Jehyva, you can go to his website.
JehyvaFloyd.com, JehyvaFloyd.com. And there's a lot of content in terms of what I do for men of color athletes and just another advocate for mental health. So you can go on JehyvaFloyd.com.